This AfriCast is brought to you by Westcon Comstore, your value-added poly distributor. Hello everybody, welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brent Watts, and joining me today is Clinton Matos.
That's me, as always. Hello, everybody.
And Robin Chetty.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good, good. Right, let's not waste any time. We've got a busy podcast today. Clinton, what have you been doing?
DC on your TV. Now, before anyone gets worried, this isn't a new streaming service or anything like that. I just want to talk about two TV shows that fall within DC's properties. And we'll go over them real quick, so don't waste anybody's time. Let's start with the older of the two, even though it's ongoing, and that's Titans. Now, this show has a rather infamous first trailer where Robin comes on and then he says, F Batman. Do you guys remember that?
Nope.
Robin.
A different Robin.
Okay, so Brandon, basically, this trailer is super dark and gritty, and then Robin fights some bad guys, and then someone's like, where's Batman? And then Robin says, F Batman. We don't have expletives on the show, which is why I didn't say the real word. And on top of that terrible trailer, they revealed the designs of the characters when it was coming out last year, and they looked really bad. They looked... I want to use an expletive here. They looked absolutely god-awful. They looked even worse in amateur Photoshop, and they took Starfire and they made her look like, I don't know. It's just so bad. I want to use expletives, but I can't. So I just want to say it looked bad. So the second season is actually ongoing right now. And for some reason or another, somebody suggested the show to me saying, listen, those first impressions were really bad, but the show is decent. So I decided to give the first season a try, and I watched a few episodes, and it's actually really good. Now, You know the saying, don't cut yourself on all that edge? This is maybe one of the edgiest shows I've ever seen. You guys have... I don't know if you've seen The Joker, either of you, but it's even edgier than the new Joker movie, and that's saying something. But it's actually pretty good. There's not as much CGI fight scenes as you may expect, because it's a TV show and not a movie with an infinite amount of dollars as budget. They have to be conservative, and when there is CGI, it looks a bit wonky. So as you know, this is based on the Teen Titans, where there's Beast Boy, and Beast Boy can transform into animals. And when he does that, it looks very rubbery and really unrealistic. But after watching a few episodes, I can say that it's not as bad as you thought it was. And I've gotten into it. And that's for a few reasons. One, I didn't expect this in the first season, but it's kind of a road trip across America. And I know a lot of people are kind of infatuated with that idea. But it kind of starts off in Detroit, where Robin has kind of left Batman and he's going off being on his own. Now, a lot of people are thinking, so he's become Nightwing. So I can't say yes or no to that, because it would be a spoiler, even if it hasn't happened. But basically, it's going along the path of when Robin goes off on his own, and he's in Detroit as a police detective, but he's being Robin in his free time. And then he gets involved with Raven, and Raven is... you don't know what's going on with her. You know she has weird powers, but you don't know what they are or why she's using them. And there's strange stuff happening around her, and a shadowy organization is trying to get her. It's very tropey. We've seen all this stuff happen before, both in comics and TV. But they put a fresh twist on it, because you kind of know who these characters are. You know what they're going to do. And as they're gradually introduced, like Starfire is just... she's a random person in Europe who has no remembrance of her identity. And then Beast Boy is just some guy in the woods who's a tiger sometimes. And I don't want to say more than that, because it would be a spoiler, but I do want to say that the first season is better than you'd think, and it's a fun road trip across America. And all the actors and actresses, the cast are really solid, except maybe for Raven. Raven gets a big share of the screen time, because I kind of think she's the main character. But this is really... it's not an ensemble cast, because not everybody in it is a big name actor. But It really does feel like an adventure romp. And I do recommend it now. I bring it up now because the second season is actually ongoing. I think it's about six or seven episodes in now. And I'm not liking the second season as much because it feels more meandering. Again, I don't want to spoil why, but they don't go on this big adventure, you know, across America. It's kind of all just confined to one space. And I won't say where that is because flipping out, there'll be a spoiler. But it doesn't feel like it has as much of a purpose as the first season. So I'm going to end off on that. I don't want to talk too much about it because I kind of want people to just go watch it. And it's just keep in mind, it's going to be edgy. If you don't want to see, you know, Raven, who's 15, dropping the F-bomb, well, too bad. You might need to find a streaming service that mutes those. And I think...
My first question, Clinton, is where can you stream these?
Titans? So I used a VPN to get it from an international service. I can't remember which one. But I'll put a link to where you can watch it. But yeah, I used a VPN.
I think Netflix can. I think Netflix has Titans on it.
Yeah, but I don't know if local has it because again, I used a VPN. So I'll look that up for you guys. But I don't know about in South Africa specifically because when I want to watch these shows, I just put on the VPN and I go to town. So that's kind of yesterday's news. Let's talk about what happened just this week. So another DC property that has its own TV show now is Watchmen. So I'm sure everybody listening to this is familiar with it because it's one of the most popular graphic novels of all time. It was made into a movie, which is divisive, but I think it was impactful in terms of what it did and the number of fans it has. And now it has a TV show, and the TV show is kind of different because it doesn't follow the event of the movie. It follows the event of the graphic novel. And for people who have, you know, consumed both pieces of media, you'll know that there are some key differences to those. And I think both of those are so old now that I could spoil them, but I'm not going to. But just if you're going into the TV show, just keep in mind that it's following the novel and not the movie. And you will have to have seen one or the other because the show, I'm quite shocked by this premiere because it does not yield when it comes to putting you into this world. It mentions stuff that is so offbeat and so specific that you either need to know that it's from the novel or you just need to accept that they're going to explain it in another episode later down the line. I think about three quarters of the show is kind of in undecipherable, right? You will not understand what's going on. And that's, again, by design, they're going to explain it more in the future episodes. But on the other hand, it is from the novel. Again, it is shocking that they did this. But on the other hand, I'm really happy with it because it shows that the people who did it are, I don't want to say confident in it, but they're unabashed, right? They've decided to make something and they've decided to make it their way, which I really respect. And this trailer, not trailer, it's a pilot. It's the first episode. It's about an hour long and it goes to some dark places. And another reason I wanted to bring it up, aside from it being new, is the fact that the first scene in the movie is based on the Tulsa race riots. Now, I don't want to get into what that event was, but I just want to get into the fact that Watchmen is based on an alternate history where there's, you know, one superhero and then there's unpowered people who are vigilantes called the Watchmen. That's why it's called that. But they really changed history, and this is taking place in that history. But the Tulsa race riots was something that happened in the real world, right? This is a real event. And the reason it's so shocking, aside from the fact that it was racially charged violence, is that a lot of people watching the show didn't know that it was real. I'm writing a story now about there's been a huge Google search trends uptick in people looking up this event because either they want to know about it because they thought it was fiction or they're so shocked that it happened in real life. So I don't know if you guys, I think I asked you guys before this, but neither of you have seen it yet. So I don't want to spoil much, especially because the show is now ongoing. But have you guys consumed Watchmen in either form, as the movie or the graphic novel?
Yeah, I read the graphic novel and the movie.
Okay. What did you think of both, Robin?
Yeah, so the graphic novel I loved. I really like Alan Moore's work. The movie, it was okay. I think translate the graphic novel onto the screen is going to be very difficult, regardless of who's doing it.
Yeah.
And I think Zack Snyder probably stuck to the comic book a bit too much.
Yeah.
A lot of the scenes are like essentially frame for frame from the comic book. So in that respect, I think he didn't really put his spin on it. But yeah, I think it was a very difficult project in general to kind of tackle anyway.
And you, Brendan?
I haven't watched the movie or read the graphic novel.
Okay. Fair enough. So I've also seen both. I kind of have some nostalgia around the movie just because when I saw it. But I prefer the graphic novel just because the novel is kind of meta commentary on media and superheroes. You know, way before the MCU made it extremely mainstream, the novel was kind of saying, hey, this is all a bit ridiculous. We can't just solve the world's problems by dressing up in spandex and punching each other. And then the movie went the exact opposite way and it said, yeah, dress up in spandex and punch each other. So the reason I bring them up is because this is a continuation of the story sometime later, and it's really dark, and they've made a conscious decision to be going off of the novel and not of the movie. But going into this, I think you can just watch the movie, because I know, you know, everybody's time is precious and it will take you slightly longer to read the novel than to watch the movie, especially if you can like speed up the movie in any way like that. But if you do watch the movie, I really recommend that you then look up a YouTube video that shows the differences. I'll put a link to that. I think there's a 5-minute or so video which shows the quick differences, because the ending of the movie and the ending of the book are one of the biggest differences between the two. And if you don't know that, a certain scene in Watchmen, the show, will be ridiculous to you. It will make no sense. And I really want to say what happens. But you guys will A, think I'm a madman, and B, you'll have no context for it. So aside from talking about it, those are my kind of recommendations this week. I do recommend you check out the Titans show. I think after you've watched one video of, after you've watched the first episode of Titans, you'll decide if you like it or not, and then you can continue or you can just put it aside. And I really recommend the Watchmen pilot. Obviously, there's only one episode out now, so at maximum, it's an hour of your time, and you can see what you like about it. I like both. I prefer Watchmen, but Titans is fun as kind of a turn your brain off and watch thing. Brendan,
just on the Watchmen front. So it's on HBO, right? But is it being aired locally on DStv or anything like that?
So again, I don't know. I used a VPN. I'll look it up for you after the fact, Robin, and I'll put it in the story.
Cool. Thanks.
So, Brendan, you're up next.
Yeah. So, I've been using a... First things first. So, while you've been talking, I've just received a delivery from Vodacom.
Okay.
They've just dropped their Vibe 4G off for us to review. Cool. And I just wanted to take a quick second to talk about that. So, Vodacom yesterday announced the Vibe 4G, which is the follow-up to the Vibe 3G. And it's actually the first 4G-capable smart feature phone available in South Africa, which is really nice. It's 300 Rand for this phone, which is incredible. What? Like, yeah, it's got 4G capabilities. It's got space for an SD card. I mean, first impressions are really good. So, yeah. We'll have a full review soon, but I mean, it's a really nice little device, and for $300, I mean, what more could you really ask for? So, just to give you a quick overview, it's got a 2.8 inch color screen, physical buttons, battery will reportedly last for 22 hours. There's a 2-megapixel camera at the back, but yeah, we'll give this a test. And thanks for dropping this off, Vodacom. Really appreciate it.
Sorry, I know you just wanted to mention that and keep going, but I just want to say this actually looks perfect for my parents, because my parents, they can't use smart devices just because they've never done it in their lives, and they both have feature phones. But if I could slightly upgrade them to this and give them access to WhatsApp, that would make our lives so much easier. So this is a really cool product, and I'm just seeing it now. Again, we have a story on the site, which I'll link to, but this looks really cool. I'm excited to see what you see about this, Brendan.
Yeah,
what you are
really, really nice. Anyway, sorry. Cross call.
Yes.
A couple of how do you lock this phone? It won't let me lock it. Anyway, Cross Call Trekker X4. So Cross Call is a French company. You may not have heard of them. They actually have a really weird claim to fame. They created the world's first floating smartphone. It was called the Shark. It was released in 2012. And while it sounds silly, it actually makes a bit of sense because, I mean, phones are quite heavy and this one was able to float, which was really cool. But they've now got something new out in the form of the Trekker X4. I'm just going to call it the Trekker from now on. So it is a rugged smartphone. It's got like massive bezels around it. There's a nice like lip that protects the screen should you drop it onto a surface. And it's a rugged phone, which means that there's a couple of things that we can expect. So it's got IP68 dust and water resistance. Its shock resistance is rated... I'm tripping over my words here. And its durability earns it a MIL STD80G certification, which means that it can be dropped from quite a height and it will survive. So yeah, it uses a USB Type-C charging port. It's got a headphone jack. But something that's really interesting about this phone is that it has an action camera in it. So many phones will have like three different cameras with varying degrees of quality or various jobs that they need to do, whether it's picking up low or highlights and that sort of stuff. But this is just an action cam like you would find in something like a GoPro. And it's got this technology called HyperStab, which is image stabilization software that works so well. Like, so I'm not an active person. So the way I tested this was just like shaking my hand. But the stability of the video is absolutely incredible. It's just high quality as well, which is nice. So if you like snowboarding or biking or whatever, this is a really great option. Now, I'm sure a lot of you are asking, but Brendan, I don't want to hold my phone while I'm biking down a mountain. And that's a good point. And CrossCall has thought of that because it's got a couple of attachments that can actually attach onto the back of the phone. So there's a space for a sort of ball joint that goes onto the phone. There's an attachment called the X blocker, and that allows you to attach a ball joint to the phone that you would find in something like a selfie stick or some sort of attachment like tripod attachment that you could attach to a bike or to your chest or something like that. So you can attach that to the phone. It ships in the box, and then you can use the phone as an action cam in that way. The camera has a couple of options with regards to it. So you can use it as a normal camera with a normal wide-ish angle. You can use it in a fisheye setup, which, as you will expect, it makes a nice little border around the thing and you get like a circular image. I don't know how to describe
it. Yeah, it's the fisheye effect.
Yeah, get that fisheye effect with like the edges kind of stretched and the inside looking normal, or inside of the image looking normal. It works really well. I mean, the camera's not bad. The camera that's in the phone is a 12 megapixel sensor. And then the action camera, they don't disclose what it is. They just say it's an action camera. But it has a 170-degree field of view, which is nice. I mean, if you want to get, like, your whole trail on a bike, this is an easy way to do it. It feels so damn sturdy. Like, I know this is a rugged phone, but sometimes we get a rugged phone and it's like, it's a bit lacking here and there. It's not as great as it could be, but this feels really nice and sturdy. It's got a fingerprint sensor on the side that works really well. There's a dedicated button for the camera. You got your volume buttons, all basic stuff really. But then there's also a number of sensors in the phone. So there's a barometer, there's a humidity sensor, there is a temperature sensor, there's a compass that works really well, and just a whole bunch of other stuff that you could use. It's really well thought out. Like, if you wanted to go surfing and you wanted to know how much, or if you were going gliding or something, I don't know what active people do. What do these people do during the week?
They wake up really early on weekends.
So you can see what time the sunrise is going to happen and that sort of stuff. I mean, there's some really nice additions to this phone that I've only seen in things like Cat smartphones, which, while great, you kind of do pay a premium for. And this isn't any different, of course. I mean, this phone retails for 13,000 Rand. But I like the addition of the action camera, because one of the things that I've noticed with rugged phones is that they're always geared towards work. Whether you are working in a construction site, or you are working down a mine or something like that, generally rugged phones are geared for workers. And this doesn't give me that impression. It seems very much geared towards hobbyists, people that are out in the open fields during the day, that are doing trail runs, that are snowboarding or climbing mountains or whatever it may be. So it's a really nice tool for that sort of thing. However, is it as good as just having a camera, an action camera, and a smartphone?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a question that's going to come down to you, really. So I see this as a tool for surfers, mountain climbers, and the like. And if you don't have an action camera and you're looking for a new phone, then this is a decent offering here from CrossCall. Is it better than an action camera? No. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a lot smaller. It's not going to have the functionality that something like the latest GoPro is going to have, or another action camera brand. It's just, it's fine, right? It's not going to blow your hair off completely. It's just fine. It's sort of like having an iPhone as a photographer. You have the iPhone, but it's not as good as your DSLR, which is great. I mean, as a tool for somebody who's going out and is worried about breaking their expensive iPhone, I mean, this is a nice alternative. You slot your SIM card in here and you go and climb mountains all day if that's what you want to do, and your phone will withstand that punishment. The other thing I wanted to mention is the battery life of this phone. It has a 4,400 milliamp hour battery, and I've noted a general battery life of 15 hours from the Trekker, which is quite good, considering everything that's in here. 15 hours on average, and charging takes about 90 minutes. The one thing I will say is that the handset gets very hot while it is charging. So hot, I thought it warranted a mention in my review. It does support wireless charging, but unfortunately my wireless charger is currently on the fritz, so I wasn't able to test how well that works. Another thing I wanted to mention is SD card. So a lot of times some companies will let you have an SD card and others won't. CrossCall does let you have an SD card, but it's really weird. So you don't attach it to the phone, or you don't add it to the phone via a tray like you would with a normal smartphone. Instead, there is a little plate on the back of the phone that's, I think it's 4 or 5 rings that sit on the back of the phone, and you can add attachments to it. And one of those attachments is an SD card housing thingy. So essentially you attach this onto the phone, and then you slot your SD card into that little device, and then you can transfer files. Now, I don't like that, because number one, I need to now buy an additional attachment for my phone that I then need to keep track of when I want to use when I want additional storage. In addition to that, that means that all you can do is use the all you can do is use the storage on the phone, which isn't too great. There's 64 gigs of storage on this phone, and once you start taking photos and video, and the camera does go up to 4K, and at full HD you get up to 120 frames per second of video, which is quite a lot of video that you're going to be lot of storage that you're going to need for those files. So essentially, eventually you're going to need that little attachment, and I don't like that at all. I wish that they just built it into the phone as into the SIM tray, just double it up with the micro SD card reader, which is fine. It's just, yeah, it's not something nice, and it does detract from it. As I mentioned, the camera is really good, the sensor's good. Inside is a Snapdragon 660 SoC. The CPU runs at a max of 2.21. It's got 4 gigs of RAM, which is a bit too little. The reason I say that is that when you're using apps, you get this sluggish feeling from the phone. Like, it takes a while for things to open. If you're multitasking, you can feel a bit of lag as you're switching between apps. I do feel that just a little bit more RAM would have helped this phone that much more. As I mentioned, it's a 13,000 Rand phone. It's available through Take a Lot and a couple of other places. And my verdict is that it's a nice addition to the rugged phone kind of sphere. Because, as I mentioned, a lot of the time, these handsets are very much geared towards work. And this one is a bit more geared towards having fun, which I like. Because of that whole, perception that rugged phones are meant to be for work, I like that this one has a bit more fun with itself and allows users to have a bit more fun with themselves. I think it's a really cool phone if you're an outdoor person. If you need it for work, I would say consider something from Cat, maybe. But if you're an outdoorsy person that is sick of breaking their phones while they are climbing up a mountain, CrossCalls Tracker X4 is a really great choice.
So, Brendan, just before we end on that, I want to ask you two things real quick. A big part of action cams is that they're kind of compact, right? How does this compare in size to an action cam? Because I assume it's bigger, obviously.
Well, I mean, it's the size of a smartphone, so yeah. It's quite big.
I'm just thinking, because if you want to mount it to your head, that's going to be a bit of extra weight, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not heavier than a DSLR, for instance. It is a bit heavier than an action cam, I'll grant you that. But if you don't have an action cam and you need a phone, you can get 2-in-1 with this. Like, yeah. I don't think it's a replacement for an action cam. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying ditch your GoPros and go with the Tracker X4. Because the GoPro is going to give you better footage and better quality footage than the smartphone will. The thing you must remember is that this is a smartphone with an action cam attached to it. Yeah. First and foremost, it is a phone. Second to that, it's got an action cam on top of that. That is just a nice addition rather than, oh, hey, you should buy this because of that.
Yeah. And then let me ask you as well, you talk about the stabilized footage being really good. How does it compare to, say, using a regular phone with a gimbal, like a handheld gimbal?
I can't comment on that because I don't have a gimbal for a phone.
Okay.
I can't tell you that. I mean, the stabilization is really good. It's better than the stabilization that I've seen in some other phones, some more expensive premium phones that claim to have really good OIS, which is all good and well, but when it comes to actually using it in the real world, that's when you get put to the test, and I feel that those solutions often fall short. This is really good, but as I mentioned in my review, that HyperStab is only available in the bespoke app for the Tracker X4. Which is a bit limited in its functionality. You can't really mess with settings, you can't change color levels, that sort of stuff in the action cam. But, I mean, if you just need to record you going down a mountain in a minute, it's a decent option.
Okay, cool.
Anything else? Anybody want to ask me anything else about the Tracker?
Would you recommend it to somebody who sits at home all day like me?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I thought so.
Yeah, no. I mean, so here's the thing, right? Is a rugged phone is purpose-built to take a bit of abuse. If you're just sitting at home and you're worried about dropping your phone on the tile floor, get yourself a nice good cover. Don't invest in a rugged phone. Because you're not going to make use of all its functionality, and you will be a bit upset about the fact that you paid premium pricing for a phone that's got mid-tier specs. I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I just mean that the money that you spend on this phone goes towards its ruggedness rather than the internals. Yeah. So, yeah, I would just, if you drop your phone a lot, get a good cover. If you are working in places where your phone is getting smashed because of work, rugged phones are for you.
Yeah, I think it's just that people need to know what this is before they go into it, and then not expect anything that it doesn't say on the tin.
Yeah, and I would absolutely keep an eye on CrossCall in the future, because this Tracker X4 is a massive improvement in their product. Just from what I've seen in the past that they've made, this is a really nice looking phone. It is a really good functional phone. So yeah, it's a brand to look out for, I would say.
Cool.
Right, Robin, you had a chat with Polycon, I believe.
Yeah, so earlier this week, I interviewed Luke Bainbridge. He works for a local distributor, Westcon Comster, and one of their brands is Poly, which is actually a brand that merged together Polycom and Plantronics, two well-known brands. And so we chatted a bit about video conferencing, kind of where it's going, why it's still important in the business world, and kind of what kind of products Poly has in that regard. Yeah, so yeah, it was a really interesting kind of conversation. And I think video conferencing in general is something that a lot more businesses are looking to incorporate into their setup.
Are you navigating through the vast array of choices and collaboration solutions available for your organization? No matter what the meeting room or company size, Polycom solutions work with existing technology, are easy to deploy, manage, and use, and are reliable. To find out more, go to www.westconcomstore.com.
This is Robin Lee Cheney reporting for Hypertext, and I'm joined today by Luke Bainbridge. Luke is joining today to discuss video conferencing. And Luke, before we get into the meat of today's topic, I was just wondering if you can just explain briefly your role here at Westcon Comstore.
Sure. Firstly, thank you, Robin Lee and Hypertext, for giving us the platform to present on. My name is Luke Bainbridge. I am one of the product managers here at Westcon Comstore. I look after the Poly brand across the whole of sub-Saharan Africa. Poly is a new company that's been formed through two powerhouse companies coming together, the likes of Polycom and Plantronics, as most of you may already know in the market, have come together and now go to market as Poly. Just some of my responsibilities: obviously ensure that the brand is marketed as well as its products, that the pricing is, you know, seen as fair in the market, and that just our back end setup and processes are well managed and maintained on our end. And then obviously I also get involved in terms of building the relationships and engagement with the partners.
Perfect, that's great stuff. So obviously our discussion today is around video conferencing, and I was just hoping to get kind of your take on it. I guess as an outsider, it would seem that video conferencing and conferencing in general is a bit of an old school way of collaborating, but that isn't really the case. What is your take on video conferencing?
Well, yeah. So I guess as technology grows, so does our need for a higher, a better, richer quality and better performance from our video conferencing and conferencing in general. We're definitely seeing an increase in the demand for easier workflows, as well as collaboration tools across the workspace. And this is now becoming a crucial pillar and very critical in a lot of organizations, all right, regardless of the vertical. So I guess being able to hear and be heard, as well as see and be seen, through video conferencing with you know, parties and people anywhere across the world, and be able to also see the content being shared and be able to collaborate, makes things a lot easier. It also saves companies a lot of money in terms of their travel budget. So you won't eliminate travel from your strategy, but you'll definitely be able to minimize that and save a couple of costs there. And then I guess it just also, you know, there is a need to increase the productivity as well as the time and effort spent on, you know, just coming into a room and being able to connect to a video on a platform, regardless of the platform, a lot easier and quicker.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's something that Poly chose to enable.
Absolutely. So that's definitely something in their strategy and has been for a long, long time, as well as part of their roadmap going forward.
So we'll touch on the product shortly, but I was hoping to get kind of your thoughts on huddle rooms, because they seem intrinsically linked to video conferencing. Perhaps how are huddle rooms evolving and what are their significance in terms of organizations moving forward?
All right, so there's definitely evolution in that space of the market, all right? We've seen a massive increase in huddle room spaces. They're becoming a lot more popular, a lot more effective in the workplace environments. They're a really niche space for teams to come together and actually collaborate effectively and, you know, get the best out of that that meeting. There's a richness of sitting in a huddle room, whether it be through local content sharing or through an actual video conference. You're able to collaborate with your teams regardless of where they sit. I think it's really important to get the right equipment in those spaces. And a lot of the equipment that we're seeing from the likes of Poly brings new meaning to the word huddle. So when you think of a huddle room, it's not a couple of people dressed in, you know, football outfits huddled together, taking the knee, for instance. You know, gone are the days where you actually have to huddle up next to someone's laptop and try and see and hear what's actually going on in that space. You can now sit comfortably, you can speak normally, you don't have to, you know, lean in towards the speaker or the equipment in the room, all right? And the people on the far end are also going to get that premium quality through those video feeds and the audio quality coming through, all right? As well as the reduction of distractions without you even knowing it. So if people could be eating chips in the room or, you know, having their own discussion or someone's taking a call, there's technology built into the Poly range, all right? So specifically the Studio and the Trio that we're talking for this space has this technology already built in. The beauty of it as well is that it can be managed remotely. So these huddle room spaces are easier for IT teams to actually deploy and manage.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to note that there is now becoming a distinct difference between what were normally termed the conference rooms, or essentially the boardrooms, which is just essentially large spaces with a desk in the middle.
Yeah.
The huddle rooms, there is specific purpose. There's the intent to collaborate.
Absolutely. And I mean, you can adapt those huddle rooms. You know, the sort of equipment that that Poly offers. I'm speaking now in terms of the Trio and Studio again. Mm-hmm. Its modularity allows for the adaption to, you know, start off in a small space and actually build your way up to those larger conferencing rooms. So definitely a really focused area, I think, for any organization is the huddle rooms, these smaller spaces, smaller rooms. And I think a lot of people are now also adapting to video a lot more. They're a lot more comfortable being seen and being heard through video, and I think, you know, big things like that contribute to it are just the different platforms that we have available on our smartphones, for instance. I think that's, you know, where people have started to adopt this realm.
Perfect. So in terms of, I guess, the kinds of organizations that are looking into video conferencing and really trying to leverage it as an effective collaboration tool, what are the kind of companies that you think are stand to benefit most from using kind of boutique or premium video conferencing solutions?
So I think it's quite a broad question. I mean, you could look at any company that is looking to not only save time and money spent on things like the travel, the deployment of the equipment, and also just improving the overall user experience.
Sure.
But you know, any company that's also looking to just improve their productivity, if they've got collaboration, so a need for collaboration, and you can see this in multiple verticals where people actually need to come together, talk about a design or finances or, you know, an idea. Gone are the days where you would write on a piece of paper and, you know, have someone take a picture of it. It's all gone digital.
Sure.
And we're definitely seeing an increase in that. So I guess also the type of products that Poly offer are obviously spread across multiple verticals. So we can kind of cater for any one of those needs. So this includes things like small or home offices. We've got little solutions for that, SMB or SME environments. You can also look to scale up to the larger sorts of corporations and multinational enterprise organizations. So we're able to bring these people together regardless of their preferred platform or user work type. Poly has you covered no matter where you are or how you want to connect.
Perfect. I'm assuming you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, the Studio and Trio, the modularity to them kind of lends itself well in terms of being able to scale according to what the business type or perhaps the business need is.
Absolutely. So, like I mentioned, and if we look at the Trio, for instance, I mean, you can start it off as a base conference audio phone only.
Sure.
You can then work it into your strategy if it changes at any point and say, well, you know, I'd actually like to turn this room from a voice only into a voice and video component. You can then add on top of that and start adding collaborative tools in, like the panel, through, you know, additional components. And then you can get a better quality in terms of video by adding the different camera models onto there. A lot of these cameras as well, which you'll also see in the Studio, have the functionality for auto speaker tracking, mm-hmm. auto framing of the room. So a lot of the manual work is now taken over and handled and managed by the actual device in the room.
And that kind of touches on your, that almost an extension of the distraction-free element of it, that you kind of focus on what needs to be done in that space at that time, trying to get those kind of objectives taken care of.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if we do talk about things like distractions, things that you may not see while you're in the meeting room yourself, but
sure.
the people on the far end are hearing people, you know, in the room clicking away on their mouse or on their keyboard, or someone's eating chips or snacks. It's all fine for the people in the room because they are aware and they're present and they can see what's in the room. People on the other side have no idea what's going on if it's an audio call only, for instance. So the technology built into this equipment eliminates all of that without actually interfering and saying, hey, excuse me, could you please stop eating or could you please stop tipping away on your keyboard? It does it all for you. It does
sure.
the work.
Perfect. I wanted to perhaps get your thoughts on startups and SMEs, particularly when it comes to paying for hardware or purchasing hardware. They're told all the time to keep things quite lean, and we're seeing a lot of free online tools, and there are cheaper pieces of hardware out there in the market. Why do you think it's important to go for something that's a bit more premium, a bit more bespoke, something that, like you mentioned, is modular, can scale according to your needs? What are the advantages there?
So obviously there are these, if I can term them as good enough solutions.
Sure.
It will do the job. It may. But often these do come a lot of their own headaches and frustrations and or can cause this further down the line. And this often leads to the people that should be using them abandoning this equipment or rejecting the technology and, you know, leaving it up to the customer to look and say, well, it looks like I'm going to have to rip and replace this equipment anyway.
Sure.
All right. So I think by putting the right strategies, the right platforms, and the right equipment in place ensures that you've got a solution that not only works well for you and your organization, but that the adoption is there. It's taken by the users and the employees and the clients working on this through a unified user interface, for instance. So things like an easy click to join feature, eliminates the need to actually dial a string of numbers or log into an IP address. You know, it takes away all the hard work. It makes it simple and easy for just about anybody to use. There's even the removal of remote controls nowadays. So a lot of people actually fear when, you know, you walk into a room, you don't want to be sitting next to the remote. People avoid it. It's the last seat to be filled. It's been proven. That now changes it. People don't mind now coming into the room and saying, well, I'll start the meeting, guys, or I know how to do this, because you install a unified user interface across your organization. It makes it easy for people to adapt to it and adopt it and use it. And that's initially what you want at the end of the day. So I guess a product like the Studio, like I mentioned earlier, it also brings a lot of the automation of the room. Okay, so things like having the active speaker, whoever's speaking in the room, that'll be tracked automatically by the camera. All right, room framing allows for the actual real estate in the room to be used up adequately.
Sure.
So if someone enters a room, you don't have to now say, hang on guys, there's a new person in the room, let's zoom out. The camera does that automatically, all right?
Very handy feature.
It is really, really neat. And I mean, if you haven't seen this work already, I mean, there's plenty of videos available on the Poly website, all right? And you can actually take a look at some of these videos. I think even some, you know, around our posts going on through social media. So it really is neat, premium product, but it is at that affordable price point.
Perfect. I think lastly, if you can, you've touched on it in some aspects, but the Poly brand itself, the value it would have in the market, and kind of how perhaps Westcon kind of figures into the equation as well. How are you enabling that? What's the value there as well?
Sure. So if we talk about Poly, they've definitely got a clear strategy as to what they want to do. And from my perspective, it is to be the endpoint of choice.
Sure.
All right. So regardless of what the platform being used is, things, if you look at them as competitors in the market, I'd say, Poly work well with them. So platforms like Cisco Webex or Microsoft Teams, there's a massive alignment with the likes of Microsoft, all right? So things like Teams, BlueJeans or Zoom, any of these platforms is able to be used through the Poly equipment. So Poly is there to also try and give a much easier user interface and ease of use environment. They're trying to simplify the ways and the means that connections to these calls are being made. So like I mentioned earlier, instead of stringing a whole bunch of numbers together at this column, do I need a forward or a backward
slash
yeah, that's it. You got it. So they've really tried to simplify that, and I think the biggest thing as well coming from this is the fact that Polycom and Plantronics are really two powerhouse brands. They've come together, they've opened the door for greater things to come through their research and development investments and production. So the products that are starting to emerge, and we're seeing them slowly but surely come to light with another one, in the mix as well. I really think that they're moving away from having customers constricted and restrained to one sort of platform or one set of technology. They're opening the door and allowing the freedom for that customer to choose and change their strategy as they require. Again, some of the modular products from Poly, like the Trio, they allow for the scalability and adaption that we've spoken of in any environment. So that doesn't matter if it's a big or small office, if it starts off as a big office and changes into a small office or the other way around, Poly has a solution for that. I guess our focus as Westcon now is really to work with our partner group.
Sure.
To try and tackle these huddle room spaces and ensure that Poly is the brand of choice and is being implemented not just across the country, the continent, but also the rest of the world. There's a huge, massive drive for this. So think exciting times and exciting things still to come. And I'd suggest that if there is any interested parties available, that they reach out to either myself or the Westcon team for further assistance and support.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks again. Our thanks to Luke for making time to chat to us today about video conferencing and the Poly brand. We will link to Westcon's website at the bottom of this post. And yeah, if you are looking for video conferencing or you are looking to for other solutions for your huddle rooms, you know where to go now. Thanks again, Luke.
Thank you, Robin. Cheers.
Polycom Studio combines business class performance with simplicity for smaller rooms and huddle spaces with their USB video bar. This innovative solution makes connecting easier with plug-and-play functionality that works with nearly any video platform and any budget. To learn more, go to www.westconcomstore.com. Okay, thanks so much, Robin. Thanks so much for that interview, and thanks to Polly for chatting to us. It was very, very interesting. But that's going to do it from us for this week. And Robin, we're saying goodbye to you for a little bit while you go to Japan.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be gone for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Enjoy Japan, man. I'm not jealous at all. Not even
not
a little.
Not at all.
No.
Neither Brendan nor myself jealous at all.
I'm not jealous that you're going to Japan at all. No, I very much am. So Clinton and myself will be back here next week, trying not to swear at Robin while he's in Japan.
The whole podcast will just be us whinging, and then we won't let Robin know when it comes out.
All right. But from us, that's going to do it for today. From myself, Brendan Lotz, cheerio. From Clinton Massos.
Bye, everybody.
And from Robin Chetty.
Cheers, everyone.
We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Bye.
This is a new day. Life and work aren't driven by the clock. They're powered by our connections. By people coming together. The future will be shaped by the communicators. The collaborators. The technology that inspires them must evolve. So two technology leaders have come together. Decades of audio innovation to create new ways to hear. Pixel-perfect video for new ways to see. Spaces that work for everyone. Creating a world where technology unites us, breaks down barriers, then quietly steps out of the way. Where people can find calm inside the crowd and clarity through the noise. Where new voices can be heard, new inspiration shared. That's the power of being truly connected. One to one, one to many, many to many. Plantronics and Polycom, now together as Poly. Welcome to Poly, the power of many.